The Lord blessed us tremendously yesterday at the fellowship. Yes, sir. And the Lord allowed us to receive a word, and he dropped a word in my heart in the middle of all of that after hearing Apostle Price and Apostle Hall. The Lord reminded me, because I had been talking to the Lord for some time now. I said, Lord, there's something missing at Powerhouse of Praise. And the key word was prayer, and I didn't understand what he meant. But what he told me sitting right there, he says, I want your men to go back and start meeting on Saturday morning at 6 o'clock. And so I called in Brother Michael and Brother Brian, who initially been with me since the beginning. And we had men's prayer every Saturday morning at 6 o'clock. So we're going back to that first, second, fourth and fifth Saturday, if we have a fifth Saturday, from 6 in the morning to 7, 1 hour, unless the Holy Spirit changes that. I announced it at the fellowship, and we're going to start that next Saturday. It has nothing to do with that third Saturday. Men's prayer breakfast will continue as it's going at 9 to 12. That's for citywide and people that comes out of town. But this here prayer that we're doing 6 o'clock in the morning is for this house. I've had several ministers already said they're going to commit themselves to coming and meeting with us on Saturday morning at 6 o'clock. Is it a challenge? Yes, it is. It's going to stretch you, but it comes with great benefit. Amen? Men only. Praise the Lord. Amen? And the reason for this, God reminded me, this is the way he wants to build his men again, build them back up. And so, men, if you really want to grow, you never grow in the Lord without prayer. And you'll never grow in Jesus Christ without the word. The prayer and the word and fasting all goes hand in hand. Amen? We're not here to try to build up a membership. We're here to build you up in the most holy faith. For the things that are happening and the things that's about to happen and come on this world, you're going to have the word of God on the inside if you hope to be able to stand. Because the things that's coming, if you are not rooted in Christ, you're going to respond and act just like the world. Fear is going to overtake you, and you're going to try to survive on your own just like the world. But when you got the word of God on the inside, his love being perfected in you, you'll be able to hear his voice, follow his instructions, and know that his divine protection works. Amen? Amen. Praise his holy name. Now we're going to go to the word. We got an easy scripture today, one that is very familiar probably to most of you all, and we're just going to let the Lord have his way. Is that all right? Amen. All right. Praise his holy name. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Yes. Amen. It comes out of Matthew 11 chapter, 29th verse. And we're going to let the Holy Spirit just teach us a little bit this morning. God is an awesome God. I want to personally thank the women for going over to the conference yesterday. I understood y'all had an awesome time. Amen. And I personally give a thanks to Minister Kelvin for coming out to United Fellowship and supporting us, supporting me and all. And I told Minister Mike I expect him to work all night and try to get there also. But those things are coming up, especially ministers. You need to learn what is going on. Being a minister, being a preacher, being a pastor is more than just standing behind a pulpit. You know, and a couple of young pastors is learning that. They're calling me every day. Well, you didn't tell me all of this was going to happen, being a pastor. I said, I told you your picnic and your honeymoon is over now, and you can't quit. That's why I say you make sure when you say God call you, you ready to go through some fire. Amen. Praise his holy name. Father, in the name of Jesus, we again just thank you for all things. We come to glorify you. We thank you, Lord, it's you who keep us and not we ourselves. It's you, Lord, who has provided for us and our household. God, you're true to your word, and we know that we can depend on you, Lord. Every promise that you have given to the church, to the body of Christ, is yea and amen. So, Lord, I just ask that even now that you will allow us to humble ourselves before you. Decrease. Holy Spirit, take over even now. That the words that come forth They will come from the heart of Jesus, Lord. And let me not lean to my own understanding, but go forth and be used of your spirit today. Lord, you have always shared with us and prayed and told us when your word go out, it will never return unto you void, but accomplish those things that you sent it for. So God, even as you're blessing us here at Powerhouse of Praise, we ask, Lord, that you remember every church that's open in the name of Jesus, that you would bless those churches, those pastors, those preachers who preach in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that others will come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that they'll be able to lock onto the promises of God, and that they can put their trust in you and know, God, that you are a keeper. Father, we just thank you for all that you're going to do here today and the days to come. In Jesus' name, let the people of God say, amen, amen, amen. This morning, coming out of the book of Matthew, the 11th chapter, 29th verse says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, as Jesus is sharing this with the multitude around him and his disciples, he was not saying, if you just hook on and connect with me, you're going to have an easy life. That's not what he was saying. He was in the middle of a religious oppression from the Pharisees and Sadducees. They also was under the oppression of the Roman government, and the people was looking for relief. And of course, knowing that Jesus is now on the scene, who is revealing the new covenant, he was trying to share with them how they can have that life that guaranteed truth, honor, blessings. But he never told them it was going to be easy in the sense of you can go sit back now and everything's just going to pour it out in your hands. And they found that out, especially the disciples, when they chose to follow Jesus Christ. And from that time to this time, the word still means the same. Many times today, people as Christians believe once they get saved, they don't have no more problems. They just think everything's just going to fall in line. But as I was sharing with some young men this past week, they said, well, why is it that we see people who are Christians look like they having a hard time in life worse than everybody else? I say, you all say you Christians? Yeah, have you not read in the word that it says those who choose to follow Jesus Christ will suffer persecution? Amen. This is not a picnic, folk. Amen. That's the reason I encourage you over every time I stand before you to tell you to get in the word of God for yourself. Because there's a lot of folk preaching a lot of stuff that did not come from God. And we are not here to give you a feel-good gospel. We're not here to try to make you feel good about yourself. We're not here to tell you if you do this, God's going to do that, and he's going to make you rich, and he's going to give you that house up on Kent Mountain and give you your Bentley and all these other things. That's false gospel. Our God is a God that prospers his people. Those who are obedient unto the Lord will eat the fruit of the land. Yes. But in this context of this message, Jesus is trying to explain to the people that he's addressing, including his disciples, if you take on my yoke, it's easy compared to the yoke of the world. If you take on my burden, it's light compared to the system of the world. As he's speaking to them there, I'm speaking to you now. This world system out here is killing people. It's taking them down. It's wearing them down. The burdens is too great. The yoke, they cannot handle. That's on his shoulders. They caving in. But if you're a Christian, if you're a child of God and you take God at his word, then you will understand that what he's speaking is words of wisdom, words of knowledge that's based on the Holy Spirit delivering the word of God to you today. You will come to understand that as the Holy Spirit leads you and guides you and you follow the word of God, first of all, you'll understand truth for the first time. Amen? And it's up to each and every one of us as individuals to get inside of God's word, study God's word, pray, seek his face so the Holy Spirit can teach you the word of God. Amen? The word of God itself is a keeper. Yes. It'll keep you as a single person. It'll keep you as a married family. It'll keep you as a child of God. It will bear you up in hard times.
Yes.
And you will understand that the yoke of God is easy compared to the yoke of the world. You'll come to understand the yoke of Jesus Christ, or the burden of Jesus Christ, is light compared to the burden in the yoke of the world. This is what he's saying to us even now. If you back to the 25th verse, it says, at that time, New Living Translation, at that time Jesus prayed this prayer, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever, and for revealing them to the childlike. Yes, Father, it pleased you to do it this way. My Father has entrusted everything to me. No one truly knows the Son except the Father, and no one truly knows the Father except the Son, and those whom the Son chooses to reveal him.
Yes.
Then Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. As he spoke the words then, he's speaking it now. He's trying to get us as children of God to learn how to enter into his rest.
Yes.
His rest is not sitting out on the golf course or going on vacation and just enjoying life. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the promises of God. He will rest your soul. Your soul is what needs rest.
Yes.
An anxious soul is a person that experiences depression, anxious, always trouble in their heart and mind. But when you get the rest of Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what storm you're going through, you can be at peace because your peace is based on him and not on yourself. Even the storms we have seen hit in this country in the last few years and stuff did a lot of devastation. But many times you would hear the people give a testimony. Me and my family is safe, and there's other stuff we can get again. God has prevailed over our lives. And it don't just have to be a storm. It be things that happen each and every day in your life. You have to understand God is still a keeper, and he's the one that deliver us. Amen? Every one of us going to go through things that's going to be heartbreaking, trials and tribulations and things that will come to confuse us and cause us to say, God, why? Why me? Why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to my family? Why did you have to take my mother? Why did you have to take my son? All those questions come up because of the flesh. Every one of us know from a young age that every human being is going to die. We don't know when, we don't know how, and when the time comes, most time that's when confusion come in. But we have to understand that death is not the end. We have to understand that the tragic things that happen is not to come to destroy you. Not from God anyway. Satan comes to try to kill, steal, and destroy every chance he gets. If anybody have ever escaped death, you better know it's by the hand of God. It wasn't no good luck. It wasn't your good fortune. It wasn't because you had your fingers crossed. It was the hand of God that spared your life.
Amen.
Satan has power, but God's got all power.
Yes.
Death have to hear God and back up. Amen.
Yes.
It's by his stripes that we are healed. Amen.
Yes.
Everything has been entrusted to Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So when things happen, you may be shocked. You may be dismayed, but it didn't shock God. God knew these things was coming, but he want to let you know that is not the end of your life. That's not the end of things for you. Many times it's your new beginning. God is constantly today trying to draw men and women back unto himself, where the enemy has planted all these false doctrines and using social media telling people you don't need to go to church. You can read your own Bible. But as I said yesterday, and I'm going to continue to say it, is nobody here on this earth smart enough to interpret God's word.
God.
Not one human being. I don't care how many degrees they got, how many Bible colleges, theological seminaries, and all they've been to. They still not intelligent enough to interpret God's word. Where you get that from? 1 Corinthians 2:14 tell me the natural mind of man cannot understand the things of God. It's foolish unto him. It takes the Spirit of God to give us the discernment to understand what thus says the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Please understand why it's so important to have the word on the inside. As I shared with them yesterday, and I've said many times here, to read about the parable of the sower, which you'll find in Matthew, Luke, and also in Mark. And they all, the story is pretty much the same. But the thing is that really that tears the church up today, especially Christians who've been with the Lord for a while, is the third one. It says the cares of this world. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches chokes the word of God, and you are not able to bring forth no fruit. We worry about everything around us. When something happens, we're trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
We stress ourselves out rather than going to God and asking for help. Many of us sometimes, if it's a financial situation and we're serving in church, well, Pastor, I won't be there. I had to pick up another extra job. I had to go do this. Well, what about Jehovah Jireh, who is your provider? Thank him and bless him with what he give you and ask God. Tell God, not that he don't know, but let him know that you know, and he knows that too, that God, I'm in this situation, but I need your help. Don't let nothing pull you away from where God has established you. The enemy will try to do those things to pull us away. He also uses tactics of deception and distractions to get us from studying the word of God, to get us out of position and walking in the call of our life. Every human being has a call on their life. Every human being has a destiny.
Yes.
But most of us will never get to the fullness of our call, and many of us will meet our destiny, and will not meet our destiny. Just because we grow up and we educated, we make a lot of money, we do the thing that we truly intended to do, doesn't necessarily mean that's our destiny in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit gives us a holy call that causes us to live holy unto him. And though we have to realize that we are a spirit that's been born again by the power of the Holy Spirit. We follow after God's rule. We follow after what God called us to do. And you will have the life of joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. You will enter into God's rest. And when the enemy comes to disturb that peace and that rest, the word of God will rise up in you and give you the solution, how that you can always overcome. As reading the word of God declares that the children of God are overcomers, that we walk in the victory of Jesus Christ. It didn't say that we wasn't going to be attacked. It didn't say that we wasn't going to have trials and tribulation. But for a child of God, we are overcomers because we have the Spirit of God that lives on the inside of us. Once we learn how to hear the word of God, apply the word that we study, you're going to be all right. Amen? Just because you're not walking around with a pocket full of money and you're super strong like Superman, everything going your way, does not mean that you are not a child of God. Suffering is the way of the cross. That's the reason Jesus said, deny yourself and pick up your cross and follow me. Amen? What was he doing with his cross? He was heading to Golgotha to die. We pick up our cross so that we can die. That this flesh, our ideas, and all the great things we think that we know and think that we're going to achieve, we put that under the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And let that new creature come alive on the inside of us.
Yes.
Where you don't have to worry about or think about how this thing is going to end. Because the word of God tells us the work that he has started in us, he is more than able to complete it. Amen. You can't make things hard for God, but you can make them hard for yourself by walking in disobedience. As we understood, as Apostle Hines shared with us a couple of Saturdays ago, he says, disobedience brings about confusion. And disobedience causes you to stumble in the word of God. See, the world is already in darkness. They're stumbling around in their own opinions, thinking that it's someone trying to go somewhere to be somebody. I don't speak down at the world because once upon a time, I was a part of that world. I wanted to be somebody. I thought I was somebody. Yes, I did look down on others. Foundation of who I am to let me realize that he's God all by himself. It's he who has kept me Even when I was a wild moron running out there doing crazy things, it was him that kept me until he was able to draw me into the marvelous light and I could surrender to Jesus Christ. Now that my eyes is open, I tremble when I look and sometimes think of my past. What kind of God do I serve would put up with somebody like me? So you know that's the reason I can praise him and thank him today. Amen. You heard me say before, if I was God, I wouldn't put up with somebody like me. I would have been vamped out long time ago, but thank God I'm not God. Amen. And so we have to understand by his mercy and his grace, that's why we're here today. Every one of us have grown up and think that we are wise in our own self. But the word of God tells us to lean not to our own understanding, but in all our getting, get an understanding. And in all our ways, we acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. I'm coming to find out more and more when you acknowledge God in everything you do, God will direct your path. Sometimes you have laid out your plan for life, your plan for what you want to be, the plans for where you want to live, the plans for the house you want, and all those things. And then you come to know Jesus Christ, and it's like he take all your plans and throw them in the trash can and say, now follow me. And sometimes that may upset us when God starts telling us clean the house and get rid of this and get rid of that and stuff. But you know the beauty of it? Once all of that stuff you detach yourself from, that gives the Holy Spirit room to place everything and make everything new. And when he starts blessing, you just look back at that stuff and say, that was junk. Is this the stuff that was holding me up? When I thought I was somebody trying to hold on to my pride, when God taught me to let the pride go, look at me now. If my mama could see me now, amen. You know, my mama would be happy to know that I'm a child of God, amen. She can understand that her little knucklehead son loves Jesus just like she did, amen. That's where you want to go, folk. You want to please God in this life. Too much time in our lives we waste trying to impress people, trying to prove who we are and what we're going to do and what we're not going to do. And God is the last one we call on when the bottom fall out. Now we want God now to restore and bless us. And we're going to try to serve him for a little while until we get back on our feet. And we go right back doing the same thing. That's when the cares of the world comes right back to us. The deceitfulness of riches. Now we're making money we never had before. Now we got stuff that we ain't never had before. We can go to places we never was able to go to before. And now that we're enjoying these great pleasures of life, I don't have time to go to church no every Sunday. How long y'all hold church? That's too long. I have my friends of status I have to meet with. And all of these things, and the enemy is sitting back, choking the word out of us. That's the reason I encourage you and continue to encourage you to come to church. Come to Bible study. You don't know enough to study the Bible by yourself. That's the reason God gave you preachers and he gave you teachers. He didn't tell you they was perfect. He the one called on them. He the one that guides their life. If they mess up, he the one that's going to deal with them. Amen? It's very important, even as we was going through the fellowship on yesterday, one word that just kept popping up in my message and other messages that came forth is integrity. Integrity, integrity. And the Lord began to speak to me. He says, you talk about being committed and being consistent. If you don't have integrity, those things are not going to work. You can't commit yourself to anything because you don't have integrity. You tell folk you're going to do something, always back out. You don't show up. You can't be one that people can depend on. But when you ask, you want everybody to rush to you. Well, the church have to understand God wants a family that has integrity. God wants a family that cares about one another. When one is hurting in the body of Christ, everybody's hurting in the body of Christ. When one suffers in the body of Christ, everybody suffers in the body of Christ. And you come to the aid of that when you try to help them. Amen? We live in a world that's full of takers today. People don't readily give that much. And sometimes you see those who give a lot, sometimes it's just a tax write-off. And they don't even miss it. They don't even forget they had all of that thing. But you do have those who are genuine, will give their last, that somebody else can live, that somebody else can have some peace, that somebody else can have some joy. You have those saints of God that will press in, not just because they are so eager to get to church and worship the Lord. Sometimes they may be sick in the body. Sometimes they just don't feel like. Sometimes they're just tired. Sometimes everybody pulling on them. But they say, I need to be in the house of the Lord. I know if I can just get among the saints and start praying, God will restore me. That's what we talk about, being persistent and pressing. Amen. See, Jesus addressing those folk. That's a part of his yoke. That's a part of his burden. Going that extra mile. Amen. I wish everybody would have been here this morning. Most of you were, to hear this powerful message that you when they brought about a servant. About a servant. I'm going to tell you, a servant will always be successful because a servant put their master ahead of themselves. Then, and even as we don't really understand that, we see it as derogatory today to talk about master and servant. Paul wouldn't even hardly use the word servant. He used the word slave. I'm a slave of Jesus Christ. Somebody get on TV and use the word slave, they done lost their job. Amen? Especially if they say it to a minority something, talking about servitude and slave, guess what? You might as well go on in there and get your pink slip on your way out. But I'm going to let you know, Jesus Christ, his whole ministry was the ministry of a servant. He was here to serve the Father, do the will of the Father. He taught his disciples how to be servants. Why do you think that he took out the time to wash his disciples' feet? He wanted to let them know that you have to humble yourself. You have to walk in the pathway of righteousness. In other words, giving that of yourself that you don't want to give. Today, very few people will take out the time to wash somebody's feet. Very few people even come by to see you. I'm talking about washing somebody's feet that just can't even help themselves. Or go to the store and get something. We all too busy. But we're full of holiness. We holy. We have all of this so-called made-up religion in us that doesn't mean nothing to God. Because your servitude comes out of your heart. You enter into his rest out of your heart. You care about others out of your heart. Sometimes I see my wife when I think she ought to just be just doing something, relaxed. She's looking for somebody she can go bless. She's concerned about those that she can help. I've seen her take her last and just give. And you, many of you don't even know who she has blessed. But you say, well, we have enough. They have nothing. We're going to give what we can. That's the heart of servant. She's been with me 35 years, so she knows she don't have to try to impress me. Amen? And so the point I'm trying to get, we have to learn how to live this Bible in spite of how cruel that world is out there. Sometimes your family members and people close to you will turn their back on you, but you still got to love them. Amen? And so if you have a hard time loving your family, you're going to have a tremendous hard time loving anybody else. Amen? If we always worry about giving up what we have, so we come up short, we got to hold on just in case. Well, God is our just in case. Amen? When somebody is hurting out there, you do what you can to help them. Many people don't understand what a servant is all about. And when a servant, one thing about a servant of God, I come to find out, they are committed. They are consistent. And they are always blessed. That was a powerful lesson. God used you. Amen. The servant of Abraham, which became the servant of Isaac, had in his mind that I must do what my master have asked me to do. I'm at the top here, and you know what? My master is top chef. He understood Abraham only dealt with the best. And he wanted to please his master because he came to the point to understand when he's blessed, I'm going to be blessed. Amen? And see, we got to get back as Christians, understand when we sown in the kingdom of God, when the man of God and the woman of God ask you to do something, quit making excuses. Because your excuse is going to come back to you one day and keep you always down when you say, well, you asked me to do it, I'm going to do my best to do it. Amen? Because I made a conscious effort that I'm going to join this church or that church over here. I didn't join a church to sit on the pew. I didn't join a church to just get in there and hear a good sermon. I joined the church to be a part of the body of Christ. Who want a hand that doesn't work? Who want a leg that doesn't work? Huh? You want them in full function. So that's all you are in the body of Christ is a body part. But you are very important to the body of Christ. When you come in, don't just come to be a taker, but see what you have to give. I don't care if you may think you are not important, you are important because God assigned you to that body. You got something in you that the other part of that body don't have that body needs from you. Well, you know, I'm new at all of this. Good. But it's something still in you that you're going to be able to bless that church, bless that ministry beyond just giving money. Give your time, give your talent, give your prayers. You know, I heard Sister Katie pray that prayer with me today. It came with power. Yeah. I'm talking about punching power this morning. Yeah. And when she started praying like that, Satan is shaking. Amen. I didn't know a prayer like that was coming, but thank God it came. Amen. You. See, you have the people in the body of Christ that God put them, stationed them there. And if preachers and pastors don't understand the prayer warriors and the saints that he put in the church to pray for them, that's the reason they go crazy and go wild. I thank God for the intercessors. I thank for the ones that pray for me because they give the Holy Spirit deep chains and claws to hold on to me. Amen. Even when I don't want to act right, the Holy Ghost know how to wrap it up and say, straighten up. Amen. Somebody's praying for you. Amen. When I get to the place, it may get foggy. I don't understand. The Holy Ghost says, turn back to me and hear what I have to say. You are not one that's going to walk around confused because you belong to me. If confusion comes to me and I accept it, that's on me. That's not on God. Amen. I say, the song say, God is what? A way maker. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. He's a way maker. Yeah. And that's in everything. He makes a way. But you got to learn how to trust him. You have to learn how to hear him and discard everything else around you. It goes down to an individual. It goes to a married family. When God is speaking, God don't always come to my house and just speaks to me. He speaks through my wife. But what he speaks is for the family. Amen? I don't walk around and say, well, if that was God, he should have told me. I don't want to hear what you got to say. No, I would be a fool to do that. Amen? Because I know my wife is a woman of God. I know my wife can hear from God. Amen? And many times, even your children and other relatives will come and share with you. Don't be too proud for to say, well, you know, I'm the leader of the church and I'm a bishop. Why God over there telling my cousin he don't know that much about God? You better take that word and run with it. Amen? Because when they speak it, if it's from God, then the word here will do what? Confirm it. Amen? We don't have time to be mavericks. We don't have time to try to be somebody. Just be a child of God. Learn and ask God to teach you how to be a servant. Ask God to teach you how to get out of your comfort zone. Ask God to remove selfishness out of you. Amen? Too many Christians walk around and so self-centered, built on their own selves. That's the reason they're always crying. That's always in a hole. They're always defeated because they can't get their eyes off themselves and focus on Jesus Christ. Try reaching out and serving somebody else and watch what God is going to do for you. Amen? Anybody here today? Yeah. Okay, lights, do you hear me? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Because the word of God is not going to fall to the floor. Amen? I know what God is saying to us today. You're going to have to increase your prayer life. You're going to have to spend more time in the Word of God. I say this every week, and I'm going to keep saying it. You need to be in Bible study on Wednesday nights. Amen? God moved in here mighty on Wednesday night. Through the lesson, we had testimonies of confession, what God was speaking and confirming through me, to me, in me. About you spend too much time doing this and that, you lose your focus. It doesn't matter who you are. God is concerned about each and every one of us. Amen? Don't ever mistake in your mind the pastor got it all together. Jesus got it all together. Amen? Amen? And he deals with me, and he will deal with you. The only difference, I will hope that you hear him and do what he asks you to do. Yeah. Too many Christians, but I don't know what you're talking about. I'll never hear God's voice. That's because your focus is everywhere else. You have to get quiet. You have to be still. Even when you enter in prayer, sometimes you just be still. Don't say nothing. And give God a chance to speak. Sometimes God is trying to talk, and we got so much to say. And I found out God is not going to try to talk over you. He's going to let you just go on and ramble and do what you're going to do. When you say amen, you might as well just sit back there and not say anything. But you just keep coming. Keep trusting God. Take of his yoke. Take of his burden. Enter into his rest so your life can be fulfilled. The Holy Ghost is the only one that can fulfill our lives. Amen? We have to understand you are a New Testament Christian. You have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. As I had to correct some people this week, as they're trying to say, the problem we have today is because of the church. You know, the church don't do this, church. And I say, I'm going to stop you. That's a lie. You can't blame all your woes on the church, even if you was raised in the church. The pastor, we won't even go beyond that. But the pastor and teacher job is to preach and teach the word of God. It's up to you to open the word of God to know it. Amen? They can't follow you home and say, open your Bible. They can't get you. They're not going to be sitting on the side of your bed and say, get on your knees and let's pray. You've been taught from here. You've been preached from here. You make your notes. You go home and read them. You get by yourself and say, God, I heard what to say. I don't understand all that. Will you make it plain? If you ask God that, God is going to come in and begin to make his word plain to you. And when he opened it up to you, James says, don't be like one who look in the mirror and turn away. Other words, don't just be a hearer of the word. Do what the word tell you. When you do what the word tell you, you'll hear more of God. Then you will experience more power of his Holy Spirit. Then your joy and peace will be made full. There's too many people walk around saying they're Christian that don't know what joy is. They don't know what peace is. I don't have to have a bunch of money and have everything working for me to have joy and peace. But when I got peace and joy of the Holy Spirit, I may have holes in my pocket, but you will never know it because I already know Jehovah Jireh is going to provide everything I need because he already told me that. Amen? I know that I can sit in rest. I can sleep at night. When I've done my part, that which has not been taken care of, I put it on him. Amen? I'm not been running all over the city trying to solve all my problems. And if the church go back to what they understand the word of God said, we can do more in prayer than all the gathering of people around City Hall, around the Capitol, and protesting. Because after the noise is settled and everybody went their way, most of the things still don't get resolved. But when the saints of God get on their knees and start praying, heaven open up, angels dispatch, the power of darkness on the run, and things begin to happen. That's by the power of God. Amen? This is the reason why God gave the people the avenue of prayer, that you can come to him. You don't have to go to a priest. You don't have to go somebody else. It's okay to ask people to pray for you, but you have to learn how to pray for yourself. Because you say that you're a child of God, then that tells me you have entered into a relationship with Jesus Christ. In no way will he turn his back on you. Just understand this about God. He knows everything you know. But you don't know everything he knows. So even when you begin to pray, he already knows what you're going to say. But start practicing it so that you can learn his voice and walk in the power of God. Folk, we are children of God. The devil is not going to lighten up. He's going to even get more tenacious. He's going to come at you even more. Where he used to might attack you in your finances, didn't bother you no more. Oh, he might attack your body, don't bother you for a while. And he's coming at the body, finance, and everything else at one time. But if you got the word of God in you, just understand the word of God can withstand him. You say they come in one way and they depart seven ways. All of them evil spirits, they got to go. All of them things coming against you got to go. Amen? And when you learn that lesson and give that testimony, God, you gave me the victory. I'm going to even more trust in you. It was painful when I was going through this process, but you told me to wait and hold on and put my trust in you. Don't ask God why it took so long. God knows what he's doing. He's working things out in you so that you can enter into his rest. Is it anywhere in the Bible where God asks us to enter his rest for a little while and then get out of his rest?
Yeah.
Huh? He tells us to enter into his rest and stay in that rest until you're standing before him in the kingdom of God. We have to learn what that rest is all about. That's where your peace, that's where your joy, that's where your mind is calm again. That's when you can learn how to think and hear the voice of God. The God's voice is most time a small, still voice. But what is said, you know only God can say that. It'll rest us all your fears. Amen? How many know how good it feels when you can walk around and not fearful about anything? Amen. And even better when you don't have nothing to worry about. You ever met anybody, is that you, that walk around worrying about why you don't have something to worry about? You're always looking for the negative, something bad must going to happen. I had 5 days, everything going good for me. What's going to happen on the sixth day? The good things going to continue to be, amen. I'm not going to be looking out there, well, there must be someone on the side of the truck. I ain't going out today, amen. Learn to walk in the favor of God. Learn how to walk in the blessings of God. Every time you get up in the morning, first thing you say, Lord, I thank you for this day. You are my daily bread. Amen. You are going to guide me. You are going to keep me. You are going to bless me. You are going to use me. Put me in a path that I can be a blessing to somebody. Or put them in my pathway. God, I don't want my day to just be a vain day, trying to secure everything for myself and make sure everything is good for me. You know how many people walk, how you doing? It's good. It's all good. And they struggling, going through all kinds of stuff. The truth sets you free. Amen. You get so used to hearing that and then run on alongside me. Well, brother, this is what happened. You thought I was going to say it was all good. It ain't all good. I need you to come pray with me. Amen. And so we have to understand when we're going through things, we're not talking about you complaining about everything, but there's going to be trouble in your life that you're going to need the saints of God to pray for you. You're going to need people around you. But I'm going to tell you, as closer you get to God, remember this here. God already knows what you're going through. I know many people praying for me don't even know what the situation is. And they're not in Austin, amen? Sometimes they're in California. Sometimes they may be in Pennsylvania. The Lord put you on my mind, told me to pray this over you. I said, thank you, Jesus. Amen? I hadn't thought about that person about the last 6-8 months. But God put me on their mind to pray. Amen? You need to be connected to the body of Christ, that God can always pull up one of his saints and tell them to go pray for them. Very seldom God tell me what to pray for the person. He say, pray for them. Amen? I don't need to know. My job is to pray. I don't need to know the details of what you're going through or what you didn't do. That's God's business. Amen? And so, saints of God, this message today, God is wanting you to take his yoke. And he said, do what? Learn of him. Too many people connect his yoke with religion. That's not what he means. Jesus says, I and the Father is one. I am in the Father and the Father's in me. He say, only I know the Father. And only the Father truly knows me. But since you are a child of God, I'm ready to reveal the Father to you. To the world, this gospel is hidden. That's when you hear people talk about, I read the Bible. That book is confusing. You know what? It contradicts itself. That's folk I already know that don't know Jesus Christ. I don't care if they've been in church 42 years. They don't know Jesus. Because God reveals the word of God to his people. Amen? That's the level where he speaks through your spirit. And everything that's new in you comes alive. And you are able to walk in the power of God. We serve a mighty God, saints. I say we serve a mighty God. Amen?
Amen.
God wants you to understand everybody, every one of us, has a tendency to be bound by the enemy. I don't care how saved you are. Every one of us has the tendency to take on a yoke and take on a burden. And Jesus said, give your yokes and your burdens to him. Amen? Give it to him and take his. Because what? He said, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. I want you all to know God has not overlooked nobody here today. Because things are not necessarily going the way you want them to go. God is truly concerned. Just know in this life, we do not have the option of ordering our trials and tribulations. Situation shows up, God expects us to call on him, and he is a deliverer. Amen? Yeah. Have God ever delivered anybody from anything?
Yeah.
The word of God says that many are the affliction of the righteous, but God will deliver us through two or three. All of them. Amen? God's deliverance is not like our deliverance. In our deliverance, he's strengthening us. He's teaching us. He's showing us through your deliverance, there lies your testimony. So when the next trial comes, your trust is in me because I got you from here to here. You think I'm going to leave you right here? No, I'm going to take you further. But you got to learn how to put your trust in me. Amen? As I shared with him yesterday, I think I shared with you on Wednesday, we as children of God got to get rid of that microwave mentality. God is not going to move just because you say, God, move now. Amen? God knows what he's doing. God don't have to check in with nobody to figure out how to solve your problem. He just needs you to trust in him. Because when God look at you, he already see the end results. But he set a path for you to walk on so you can walk right into that blessing. Amen? So saints of God, don't lean to your own understanding. Trust in the Lord. Acknowledge him in all things. Be blessed to God. Walk with God. Trust God. And be what God wants you to be. So the rest of your life can be different from the previous life that you've been living. It's time for you, if you want to enter into God's prosperity, just be obedient to God. If you want to walk into the blessings of the Lord and say that I am a son, a daughter that has the favor of God on my life, just do what God tells you to do. Don't be influenced by other people. When God tells you to do something, somebody tells you to do something contrary to that, you listen to God. Amen? You hear what God has to say. Many people's lives have been destroyed because they've been influenced by other people, and God already told them what to do. You remember the scripture about the lying prophet? And the man God sent to speak to Judah, he said, when you leave, don't stop, go this other way, and don't stop, be with nobody. And the son heard what he said, and he went and told his dad, we had a prophet, he spoke this here. His daddy jumps up and go meet the prophet. Come go home with me. He said, the Lord told me don't stop nowhere. He said, but the Lord wants you to come in and rest for just a little bit and come and sup with me. I'm a prophet too. And he went with the prophet. And as soon as he partook of the food and everything, the lying prophet said, why didn't you listen to God? Why did you not listen what God told you to do? Because you heard the word, I'm a prophet too. And guess what happened when he left? What happened to him? He went out and the lion killed him, amen? And when they found out about it, guess what? The lion and the donkey were standing right there. And when the people approached, the lion and donkey didn't do anything. The lion did what God told him was going to happen. And the lion took care of his assignment, and then they had to pull old dead prophet out and go bury him. The lion prophet buried him, and he said, when I die, bury me by him. Because he knew that was a man of God. But out of that man of God being disobedient, he lost his life. But the lying prophet understood that's still a man of God. So when I die, you bury me with him. So whatever's on him going to be on me. Isn't that something? So when God says something, he don't make no mistakes in what he's telling you to do. Just do what God tells you to do so that you can be blessed all the days of your life. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you.